my soul. Living water, wash over my soul and make me whole.
Just worship the Lord for a moment. You lift your hands all across this tabernacle. We worship you, Lord Jesus. We thank you, Lord. Wash over our souls tonight, Lord Jesus. We invite your presence into this place, God. We thank you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, God. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Hallelujah. If you're a guest here tonight, we would like to welcome you to Calvary Gospel Church. This is our Wednesday night Bible study time, and we're just happy that you're here with us, either in person or online. And if you're online, there's a little link on the screen. We'd like for you to go in and fill that out. We'd like to get in touch with you and get to know you a little better and introduce some of our pastors to you. And if you're here in person, we have a little card in the back. It looks similar to this. in the kiosk, and we'd like for you to fill one of those out, and we have a small gift for you as well. At this time, we have a Save Our Children's video.
One of the major visions of children's ministries is to watch our children receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. It's part of that million soul revival that we have for kids. And one of the crucial elements of that revival is our children's evangelists. The United Pentecostal Church and the Children's Ministries Department, we have the Association of Children's Evangelists, which is endorsed children's evangelists that are used and available to be used for revivals and camps. You can go to our website to find more information. Over the course of this last year, with the pandemic and shutdowns and quarantines, the role of that children's evangelist has become all that more important. We have seen our children's evangelists make videos for churches that could not have Sunday school. We've had virtual children's crusades and children's camps. But as we move past this quarantine and past this pandemic, we're going to see our children's evangelists come back into churches, preach the gospel, and pray kids through to the gift of the Holy Ghost. We are expecting and believing great things this year, and we want our children's evangelists to be a part. If you want to connect to the Association of Children's Evangelists, please see our website and click on the application.
Praise the Lord, church. I have something I'd like to take care of here tonight. Some 42 years ago, we had a young man come into our congregation and started attending Calvary Gospel Church. And it wasn't long after that that this young man met this young woman here at Calvary Gospel Church. And they started dating. And then it wasn't long after that they got engaged and then they got married. And they've been married for 40 years. And this is Brother John and Sister Terry Seidel. And we would like for them to stand. And if they could come up to the front here. John and Terry Seidel. Now, my wife and I, our anniversary's coming up in a few more months. And we lived next to each other. John and I worked at the same place. And we started having a family at about the same time. And they have been very much a part of our lives, my wife and I and our family's lives over the last 40 years and the lives of Calvary Gospel Church. And we love these people. We love you, Brother John, Sister Terry. And they have been lifelong friends, and it's their anniversary. They're going to be going away this week on Thursday, and I'd like for them before they leave, I'd like to just let them say a few things here. If you're not gonna 40 years, that's awesome. I can say it's a long time because we're almost there, but. But congratulations to you two. We love you guys.
I'm sure it seems like a lot more than 40 for Terry. But we were both new in the church when we found each other. And it was obvious that the Lord had a plan for each of us, and the plan meant for us to be together, and I'm grateful that was his plan. I don't know what I'd do without having Terry in my life. I don't know of anyone else in the world that could last 40 years with me. Yes. So praise God for Terry Wadel Seidel.
God bless you. Thank you so very much. God bless you.
At this time, we're going to transition to our giving portion of the service. We no longer take a physical offering at the moment. I'm waiting one day. We're just going to have to break out the good old bags and just put it in there. But until that day, we have a giving options box in the back in the kiosk. You can slide your check or wads of cash into that. And has anybody ever had to give a big tithing in cash? You felt really weird because it's like a lot, and you're like, this is really thick and weird and feeling. I'm sure it probably feels weird for the folks counting it in the back. They're like, wow, whoa. But anyway, I don't know why I just thought of that. I just realized that there's been offerings I probably couldn't have put in the little slot back there. But amen. So if you have an offering, you can also give online at cgcmadison.org/giving. You can mail in your offering, or you can text to give. If you do text to give, if you have a special offering such as for Save Our Children's offering, just when you text, put in the amount and then put in what you're giving to, tithes, offering, or SOC, then that will put it in our designated area. At this time, we also now have an Easter promo video.
Marks 1 year that we canceled in-person services for the very first time here at Calvary Gospel Church because of the pandemic that swept through the world. It has been a year of change in how we live, how we work, how we interact, how we do church. It has been a year of storms in our society, social storms, racial storms, political storms. In the midst of these storms and these changes, we have faced unparalleled pressures in all areas of our lives, and all at the same time. Anxiety, fear, marital stress, family stress, loneliness, isolation, depression, hopelessness. Perhaps you felt lost, not sure how to navigate through life. Is life gonna be normal again like it once was, or is this the new normal? I can imagine this is how the followers of Jesus felt when their brother, their son, their leader, their teacher died in such a horrible and brutal way on the cross 2,000 years ago. I can imagine that they too felt lost. What do we do now? Were we wrong? Did we not understand things? Was he not the Messiah? On the other hand, I can imagine all of hell rejoicing, thinking they had won, that they had bested God's plan. 3 days later, the devil and his angels, the followers of Jesus, and all of humanity for the rest of time found out one simple truth. God is our champion. He's undefeated. He's won every battle. He's never lost. He didn't robe himself in flesh and come to this earth to reign as a conquering hero and king, as we would think. No, he came to die. It was his plan from the start. He came to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, the recovery of sight to the blind, and to set at liberty those who were bruised. And God came to provide a path for salvation for all of humanity. So when we feel lost in school, at work, in life, we should look to the one who has never lost, the one who is our firm foundation, the anchor that will never be moved, the one who can take our burdens and give us rest, the one upon whom we can cast all our cares, the one who has never lost. On Easter Sunday this year at Calvary Gospel Church, April 4th at 10 a.m., come as you are, heavy laden, burdened by life, facing storms of life, and bring it all to God. Because he is the King of Kings, Jesus has never lost.
You can stop the video, Jess. You're laughing, but Jess and Phil knows that is the video that would not be played for the last week. And when today was the first opportunity we were getting to play it because it was giving us so much trouble. And sure enough, it did that. So I believe that's the devil. I'm just going to claim it because I spent a good long time trying to fight that thing. I don't know why that video didn't want to be played, but I believe Easter weekend is going to be a powerful time in the Holy Ghost at Calvary Gospel Church. Amen? And so we got some special things to announce about that. Good Friday service is going to be on that Friday night. We're going to be taking communion. And so just be prepared for that when you arrive on Friday. I think that's at 7 o'clock. Normal is in lieu of our normal prayer time. We'll also have prayer, but it's going to be more of a service at that point on that night. Now, April 2nd, Easter service is going to be at 10 a.m. I'm sorry, that's on April 2nd. The 10 a.m. morning Easter service is going to be on April 4th. So would you do me a favor and invite one of your friends or family members to Easter service? There's only a couple times a year that people are more willing to show up. And this is a great opportunity for you to reach out to your neighbors, friends, and family, or coworkers, or schoolmates, or whoever it is that you might want to talk to about Jesus and invite them to a service. Amen. Also, we'd like to announce to the men, or even some of the ladies that are interested in volunteering, April 9th through 11th, we're going to be doing the Fellowship Hall renovation. We had this scheduled previously last year, but we decided to push it off until after the snowfall was completed because there's a lot of in and out and traffic, and we didn't want to muddy up the whole building. But we're going to be tearing out a lot of concrete, and if you can imagine 100 bags of concrete being put back into the areas that we have to cut out for a plumbing renovation, that's going to be happening April 9th starting at about 6 p.m. It's at 6 p.m. because of we have to wait until Kids Depot is out of the building. And so we have to get all of this completed in one weekend. So it's very important. If you're going to participate in some project around a church, this would be a great time to show up and just help out. You can help clean. You can help bust concrete. If you're a talented electrician or plumber or have some other trade to offer, this will be the weekend that we're tearing things up and putting it back together as fast as we can. And we'll have food and fellowship, and we're going to have a good time, but we're also going to have a lot of hard work. Amen. So anybody who wants to be a part of that, they can just see me or Brother John Grant or even Brother Roy Grant if you'd like to volunteer your services for that weekend. At this time, we'd like to turn our attention to the Lord for prayer. We have a prayer request that's been turned in by Ty and Jennifer. They're asking for healing for Randy. It's Ty's second cousin. Randy fell and hit his head and is having memory issues. Also, Josh Stone, I don't see him here tonight, but one of his employees is sick in the hospital on a ventilator. It's not COVID-related. The fellow already had COVID, but this is something else that's attacking his body. So we want to pray for that fellow this morning or tonight. And if you wouldn't mind, let's all just stand and go to the Lord in prayer real fast. If you have a need, would you just lift your hands, signifying to the Lord whatever need it is in the building? And we're just going to believe in faith that God's going to touch and heal these people that we've mentioned and all of the needs that we have here tonight. Amen. Let's just pray. Lord Jesus, I ask you, Lord God, you'll touch, Lord Jesus, these situations. Ty's cousin, Randy, God, I ask you to heal his mind, heal his body, Lord Jesus. You'll touch the situation and help the doctors to help him, Lord God. We ask you, Lord Jesus, that you will touch Josh's employee today who's in the hospital. We ask you to bless him, God, to heal his lungs, Lord God, to chase away whatever bacterial or other infection that's in his lungs, God, so he can get off the ventilator tonight. God, I ask you, you'll touch every single one of these needs. I ask you, you'll touch all of the needs in this building tonight, God. And please forgive me to interrupt, but Brother Dan Powell has asked for special prayer because he's having a heart procedure coming up in about a week, and it's important. I'm going to interrupt. We just want to pray specifically for Dan tonight, that situation would go very, very smoothly, and that he would come out 100%. Amen. So let's just pray for Dan right now. In the name of Jesus, I ask you, God, that you'll lay your hand on Dan's life, Lord. You'd help him heal his heart, Lord Jesus. Let the procedure go smoothly, God, and let the doctor's assessments be accurate and let everything happen decently in order in Dan's life, oh God. We ask you to bless his body, bless his spirit, God. Help him to have no fear or no uneasy discomfort of any kind, Lord Jesus. I ask you to just bless him tonight, Lord. In your name we pray. Everyone said, amen. Thank you, Jesus.
Let the kingdom of my heart be the mountain where I run, fountain I drink from, oh, he is my soul. And let the King of my heart be the shadow where I hide. The ransom for my life, oh, He is my song. 'Cause You are good, You're good. Oh, You are good, You're good.
Oh, I will sing of the goodness of God. sing that again. All my life. And all my life you have been faithful. All my life you have been so, so good. With every breath that I am able, oh, I will sing of the goodness of God. Oh, your goodness is running after, it's running after me. Your goodness is running after, it's running after me. With my life laid down, surrendered now, I give you everything. Oh, your goodness is running after, it's running after me. Oh, your goodness is running after, it's running after me. Your goodness is running after, it's running after me. With my life laid down, surrendered now, I give you everything. Yeah, your goodness is running after, it's running after me. Oh, you are good, oh, you're good. Oh, 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 you are good, yeah, you're good.
Praise the Lord. Thank you so very much, Brother Derek and Brother Dan, for leading us into worship tonight. I just like the feeling. It feels very, very comfortable here. And I failed to mention, too, it was Sister Terry's birthday, and then it's Brother John's birthday coming up. He's April Fool's, April 1st birthday. You could go ahead and be seated this evening. I'd like to also mention that last year, just about this time, I received a phone call from one of our pastors, Brother Brandon Ball. He's preached here before, pastors in Waukesha. And he had been invited to go to a missions trip to Ethiopia. Now, many of you know Ethiopia was probably at one time one of our largest missionary works of all of the foreign countries, probably more constituents in Ethiopia. And the Ethiopian church broke away from the United Pentecostal Church due to some various issues. I don't really even know what they all exactly were. And then the work started from scratch. We had Brother I want to say his name is Yudeska. He was here in our district a few years ago, and he was not able to make it to Madison, but I met him at General Conference, I believe, 2 years ago. And so Brother Brandon and Brother Chris Jansen, which we know has been here, he pastors in Watertown as well as Waupun, they were asked to go and do a crusade. And then the crusade got changed, and I think it was kind of something that God ordained. And they had, through a series of events that took place, they're going to be meeting with some of the leadership of the, if I could say, the old United Pentecostal Church leadership, as well as the new leadership, and try to heal some of the wounds that have taken place. I just really believe that God desires to reunite. It's amazing to me that when the church lost its focus, I think this is a very valuable lesson for us. When the church lost its focus in Ethiopia, it lost its place, lost its purpose. And the country, it has affected that country. The country is literally on the verge of civil war. And I believe God wants to restore, because that's what God does. So just pray for Brother Brandon and Brother Chris as they're there. They'll be there for a week. Our church is helping sponsor this trip. They called, and because the trip was canceled because of COVID last year, and then everything kind of got back on track this year, I said, yes, we would be honored to be able to take and help financially. If it's something you would like to take and contribute to, just text to give. Just put Ethiopia on it. We'll make sure that gets in the right place. But thank you. Thank you for praying for them. It's all about what Jesus says. I'm going to make you fishers of men. We started a series on Sunday morning, and I titled this series, Lord, Teach Us. Lord, Teach Us. The disciples would say that quite often when they were with Jesus. They would say, Lord, teach us. Show us. Show us. So we have this series. This is part number two, A Passion to Fish. I want to pick up in Matthew chapter 4, verses 8 through 22 in our New International Version. And this is when Jesus first calls his disciples. Perhaps you remember when he first called you, when you first felt that tug of the Lord on your heart. As Jesus was walking beside the Sea of Galilee, he saw two brothers, Simon called Peter and his brother Andrew. They were casting a net into the lake, for they were fishermen. Come and follow me, Jesus said, and I will send you out to fish for people. Immediately, they left their nets and followed him. Verses 21, going on from there, he saw two other brothers, James, the son of Zebedee, and his brother John, and they were in a boat with their father Zebedee preparing their nets. Jesus called them, and immediately they left the boat and their father and followed him. Putting this in perspective, it had been some 6 months had passed since Jesus had been baptized. From the other Gospels, we know that Jesus had been in Judea. He was ministering all up and down the shores of Galilee, and he had made quite an impression on the people by his method of cleansing the temple. It was during this period that John the Baptist and Jesus' ministry, if you remember John the Baptist, he said, I must decrease and he must increase. Speaking of Jesus, he was to be the opening act per se, and he was to open up the way and a leader. And John had prophesied as he's going to decrease, and we all know through history that he was beheaded. And Jesus stepped up into that area of ministry that he had been called into. And Jesus begins calling his disciples. He begins the task of turning them into as what we would call fishers of men. Jesus started a process. We call that process discipleship. And I believe that everyone who has been saved should have a heart's desire to see other people saved. I believe that hidden away in the heart of every believer, it should be in the DNA of every Christian, a desire to make disciples, to see lost people come into the kingdom of God through biblical salvation. And so many times, especially over the last 18 months, perhaps, that we feel that sharing our salvation is not an opportune time because society and so many things have changed, and we struggle with fear and we struggle with feelings of inadequacy.
We try to figure out how in this age, in this day, am I going to take and reach my world? How am I going to reach those around us? Sometimes we can take the attitude that, well, we have a pastor and we have a church staff and it's their responsibility. That's why we pay him. That's why we pay the staff. It's the preacher's responsibility. But you see, Jesus says, I will make you, speaking to all of us. We read in the opening passage, Jesus tells us that if we are going to follow after him, that he will make us fishers of men. Jesus invites us, even yet tonight, to follow me. We read as Jesus walked beside the Sea of Galilee, he saw Simon and Andrew casting a net. And he says, follow me. Follow me. I will make you fishers of men. This is an instruction that Jesus gives to all of us. Jesus calls us into fellowship. He calls us into relationship with him. When we look at this fellowship, he calls us into fellowship so that we can learn of his will for our lives. We sometimes call the will of God his purpose in our lives. Why am I here, Lord? He calls us into fellowship so that we might better learn his ways. The disciple says, teach us, Lord. Teach us. What's on your mind today, Lord? Have you ever woke up in the morning, instead of just belly aching and complaining to God, have you ever just said, God, what's on your mind for me today? He wants to fellowship. He wants us to learn of his ways. He calls us into fellowship so that we might learn of his word. I firmly believe Jesus desires all humanity to learn how to read because he put his word in words. He put what he was saying, what he wanted to get across, he put it in a book. He calls us into fellowship so that we might learn of his work. Now last week or on Sunday we began speaking and talking about fishing. I shared a little bit of fishing, some fishing stories with you as we made our way through the message on Sunday. And I would like to say that if you like to fish, or fishing for fish requires a passion for fish. I find it very interesting that many of the principles of fishing for fish are very similar to the same principles when it comes to fishing for people. You see, if you don't like fish, chances are you won't like fishing. If we don't love the lost, chances are that we won't fish for them either. When's the last time that you shed tears or you became emotional over someone, a friend of yours or a family member that you know is lost? We talked about fishing for fish requires the right amount of equipment. We talked about all of the stuff that the avid fisherman has and exists for one reason, and that's to get the fish that you see behind us, to get the fish from the water into the net via your fishing pole and a lure. We talked about all different types of fish. There's a lots of different types of fish. What I talked about in fishing on Sunday was just freshwater fish. You can fish in the oceans, and there's all kinds of fish. I went fishing with my father in Alaska. We went out way off the coast of Alaska, out into the strait near outside of Homer, Alaska, down along the peninsula out into the Pacific Ocean, and we were fishing in 275 feet deep of water for halibut. I don't know if you've ever fished for halibut before, but halibut are very unusual fish. They can weigh upwards to 450 pounds. Most of the fish we were catching, anything over the 75-pound mark, they would throw back, or they would, anything smaller than 75 pounds, they'd throw back into the water. So we were catching some pretty big fish. Now, to put this in perspective, a bundle of shingles, if you're not familiar with that, man, and you've ever carried a bundle of shingles, halibut are flat. They don't swim through the water as this way. They swim through the water, and they're very flat when they swim. And they can be, as I said, very large, as size of this table and larger, and 6-8 inches thick of pure muscle. And we were catching these in almost 300 feet of water. And it was the hardest fishing that I've ever fished for, because the waves were 10, 12 foot high waves, and the boat was going up and down, and we were in a boat that was some 75, 80 feet long, and we're catching these halibut, and you're reeling up, it feels like a sheet of plywood through the water. And you're fighting and fighting and fighting to get this fish. And by this time you get this fish to the surface, you're so tired from trying to reel this thing in. I told Dad later, I said, you know, I said, I love to fish, but I'm not so sure I would ever go halibut fishing again, because it is a tough type of fishing. When you take and you look at that, and you have a hook on it that's just, it's bigger than my hand, and you're fishing with 400-pound test line, which is a mini steel cable. Instead of having eyelets on your fishing pole, you have little tiny pulleys. Your fishing pole looks more like a billiard cue than it does a fishing pole. Begin to look at all of these different types of lures and such that I have up here tonight, and every fish you catch with different types of lures. We were talking in our staff meeting on Tuesday, and Brother Phil Demas, he said, you know, I'm kind of glad to hear about all of this fishing, because it sounds very complicated, that I don't know if I'm ever going to really want to go fishing because of the complexity of it. And it took me a long time to figure out how to actually fish successfully. I shared a few stories of when I was younger, a child, a young teenager, going fishing with my father and not having the best of luck. I have here my tackle box that I take with me every time I go fishing. And when I finish the week of Canada fishing, I take all of the lures that were the most successful lures fishing, and I always put them in my top tray. So I know next year, if we go back, that these were the hot lures for last season. You look at some of these lures and they don't appeal. They don't look like it's something that you would really want to eat. I mean, I look at this right here, and as a fish, it doesn't look very appetizing. But you see, this lure is designed not necessarily for appetizing, but it rattles. Can you hear this? Hear that rattle? These are called rattle traps. Now this one is a Rapala, and it has, you see the bigger bill on that? When we were fishing last time in Canada, I started off fishing with a smaller Rapala, just like this. It has a little tiny bill. What began to happen is we started catching the fish. We were catching them right along the banks. You'd throw your lure up along the bank, and you would crank the lure from the bank out to your boat, and you were maybe 30 yards or so off of the shoreline, and you'd toss your lure up, and the fish would be down in the shade, the trees would cover, and you can't really see the fish, and then all of a sudden they would dart out. And this lure was a real popular lure early in the week, because the little bill right there, as you pull it through the water, it's amazing how it works, is it dives down because that bill catches the water. But it's not a real large bill, so it doesn't dive real deep. You can only get this to go so deep. So if you're worried about catching or snagging on the bottom with the hooks, you don't have to worry so much. So as we were fishing in the shallower waters, this was a real good lure. But as the week progressed, the water begins to warm up, and the fish, they don't want to hang out so much in the warmer waters. They like the cooler water. So they go into deeper water. And it becomes a different challenge. So that's where you take the same color fish, the same color lure, and you get a bigger bill on it. Brother Glenn's smiling down there. He knows what I'm talking about. You have a bigger bill, and when you pull that through the water, it'll go deep. What you want to do is you want that big northern right there. He's hanging out. Instead of on the shallows, he's now in about 25 foot of water, and this lure is coming over the top of him, and he sees that. And the big game fish, like you see up there, that northern pike, they typically like to attack from the bottom up. That's how they attack. They'll come up behind the fish, and the fish won't even see them there, and it'll snag them. I'm saying all of this to say that every kind of fish that you fish for, each fish has their own habitat and their own habits. If you fish for smallmouth bass, they like lily pads. They like a lot of deadfall. They'll hang in the lilies, and they'll hang near the deadfall. And certain times of the year, some prefer the deep, clear water. If you're fishing for lake trout, and I spoke of this a little bit on Sunday, you have a lure that looks similar to this that's nothing more than a lead weight with all kinds of sparkle in it. And it's designed to sink down into 75, 80, 90 feet of water, and you put your own hooks on it, and as the fish sees that, and you pull it up and down, and you call it jigging, and you're pulling your pole up and down, and this is going up and down in the water, and the fish come along, and they see that, and they attack it, and they get caught in that treble hook. You see, every fish has different type of a habitat. You're not going to find a lake trout in 4 or 5 feet of water with lily pads on a lake. They're going to be in the deep water. You have the fast-moving streams, trout, certain types of trout, rainbow trout and brook trout, brown trout. They love the fast-moving streams. Some like the shallow backwaters. There's lots of different kinds of fish and lots of different kinds of waters. And there's lots of different kinds of lost people to witness to. And each of these people, church, just like fish, they each have their own habitat and they each have their own habits. You see, we're commissioned to reach the lost. Jesus said that to go ye therefore into all the world and preach, teach this gospel. You see, we have old people and we have young people. We have married people. We have single people. We have young people and children. If you look at a cross-section of humanity, just as we have lures for different habits and different colors of water and such, you have different generations of people. I look here in the church. Here tonight, our church is represented by a number of different generations. I look at the silent generation. This was the World War II generation. Sometimes it's referred to as the greatest generation. They were builders. If you know anything about American history, and you go back in the 20s and the 30s and the 40s, the roaring 20s, a lot of these men were involved in that era. They were building this country. They were building buildings. Skyscrapers started to dot the skylines in our large cities. This was the World War II generation. Then after the World War II generation, World War II broke out and went and fought against the tyranny in Germany and in the Pacific. They came home and they went back to their jobs. They went back to their farms. My father-in-law, Larry Michaels, is a World War II veteran. He's been here at our church many times. And the word, the silent generation, fits him to a T. He's a very quiet, quiet man, but you see, how you reach them is different than how you reach the next generation. We have the baby boomers that come along. How many of you here tonight are a baby boomer? Won't you stand so we can see all of our baby boomers? We're a large generation of people. Then we have the Gen Xers, the Gen Ys, the millennials. We've all heard of the millennials. They like to let everybody know that they're here in the building. Right, Sister Brittany? Then we have the latest addition. They have the called the Gen Alpha, the Gen C, or Gen Z. All of these are kind of lumped together into anyone that is now currently in school that is surviving the COVID. I didn't realize this until I started doing a little research. They already have a generation called Gen Cers, as in COVID. And each one of these groups has their own unique characteristics. I ask myself, church, if we're going to win them, just like fishing, if I want to catch a particular type of fish, I have to use a particular lure. I have to go a particular place in order to get that particular type of fish. And if we're going to win people, if we're going to win the various generations of people that we have been commissioned by Jesus Christ to win, we're going to have to know their habitat, and we're going to have to know their habits. We're looking at a world today where that generations are growing up, have no idea what a VCR was, or have no idea what a cassette tape was, or no idea what it was like to live without a computer or a microwave in their homes. I remember when the first microwave came into our home. It was awesome. We learned how to recook so many different things, and some things you just simply can't cook in a microwave. But you see, we had to take and make all of these adjustments. Fishing for different kinds of fish requires fishing for different types, or requires different types of bait. Some fish prefer a live bait, while other fish will swallow just about anything. Up here tonight, I have spinner baits, I have crank baits, I have diving crank baits, I have shiners, I have spoons, I have topwater baits, deep water baits, I have runner baits and bobber baits. I have baits that look like little frogs, that when they go through the water, they have little tiny impellers that turn and make a funny noise, and the fish come up, the bass, it drives them crazy. They're designed to go through weeds. They have little runners on them to keep weeds from catching in the hooks. They have all kinds of fish. You have all kinds of lures. You have all kinds of bait. You see, it's not just using the right bait all the time. You see, it's how you present that bait. You can have the right bait. You can have the right water conditions. You can have the right fish. But if you're not using the lure correctly, you're not going to catch the fish that you're fishing for. I have lures here that are specifically designed as topwater baits. They only work one way. There's a vast difference between this particular lure right here and this lure right here. They're the exact same lure. They're just different colors. But you see, it's not just the color of the lure that matters, but it's how you present this lure. See, you just can't throw this in the water and just crank it. You have to work it on the water. It has a weight in it, so when you pull it, it'll go side to side automatically because the tail of this is weighted with a weight. So it's all about presentation. You're trying to present to the fish an injured minnow struggling along the top side of the water, and you throw it in and you begin to jig your pole, and that lure begins to go across the water in a zigzag pattern, and it makes a lot of noise. And the fish are attracted to that, and they come up and they hit at that lure. But you see, if you threw that same lure in the water and you just cranked it in at warp speed and you didn't do anything, you didn't have any action on the end of your pole, the chances of you fishing or using that lure to catch fish it was intended are going to be slim to none. And the same thing comes when we begin to share the gospel. You see, what I found out with fish is you can't cram a lure down its throat. It won't work that way. Sometimes you will throw out a lure and you will try and you will maybe be successful. And then after a while, the sun hides behind the clouds and the condition of the water changes. Maybe there's a storm coming in and the barometric pressure begins to drop and the fishing habits begin to change. So you have to change your approach. And so many times as Christians, hear me, church, we take the same approach to whoever we talk to, and we never change our approach, and we wonder why we never catch any fish. You see, there are some fish that you can't readily catch right off of your boat. There are some fish that you can't get to by boat. There's some fish that the only way you can get to them is you have to take and you have to invest in a pair of waders. How many of you ever wore a pair of waders? I love and I hate waders. The reason is because they can be a little difficult at times. I wear these numerous times a year now in my fishing pond. It's even harder with the microphone on your chin. Oh, there we go. Now, these waders are designed that you have to go into them with just your stocking feet. Now, the first time I ever wore a pair of waders, I was probably about, where's Madden? Is Madden Ryan here? Madden, I'm sorry, Rossi. Step up. Step out in the middle of the aisle once for me, would you? Everybody look at him while I put my waders on. I was about his size, and I had Brother Aaron, Dale Aaron, waders on. And we were fishing in the Brule River in northern Wisconsin, very swift trout fishing. And I didn't know anything about trout fishing, but I got to wear waders. And right about here in the waders, it had a tear in them. You can sit down, Madden. Just imagine Madden wearing these waders right now. And they had a tear in them. And Dad was fishing with Brother Aaron, and they had on the cool waders that just came up to like your hips. And they strapped on. They call them hip boots, I think is what they were called, or hip waders. And that's what the cool guys wore. I had an inner tube stuck inside. And I'm fishing. And I don't know anything about trout fishing. And they all had those cool baskets. I've got one at home. It's now my toilet paper holder for my downstairs bathroom. So it's been modified. But I'm fishing. And that hole begins to leak and water begins to get in and my leg gets really cold. And as I'm fishing and I'm trying to get around to where the fish are, not really even knowing what I'm doing, I fall. And I fall down to my knees like this. And my waders now are filling up with water. I don't want to sound real drastic here, but I felt like I was peeing 40-degree water. You never thought you'd ever hear that. I was soaking wet, and my waders were full. And I got to try to get up now. And I got this waders full of water. And I'm freezing cold. And Dad and Brother Aaron are long gone down the stream. And I find myself laying on a big rock going like this to try to get 40 plus degree water out of my waders. And I'm thinking to myself, this has got to be the dumbest thing ever invented. Who in the world would fish like this? That's a funny, I mean, we can all laugh at this today, but the bottom line is, church, sometimes there are fish that desperately need catching. And the only way to get to them is you got to put a pair of waders on. And you got to fight your way through the current. And you got to fight your way over the obstacles. And sometimes you fall on your way getting there and you get all miserable and cold. But you're trying to go after a specific kind of a fish because you have a passion for fishing. You're trying to go after that one lost soul. And it's just a hard fight to get to them. And that's what Jesus was trying to tell us when he says, follow me. Follow me. Because I want to make you fishers of men. Is it always comfortable? Waders are hot. Waders are stinky. They're heavy. But they're necessity at times. You see, if we're going to go after the traditionalists, we're going to go after the boomers, we're going to go after the Gen Xers, the Gen Yers, the Gen Cers, every one of these groupings of people, generations of people, require a different method. You see, all of these folks that we were looking at, they're all reached by different kinds of music. My father-in-law doesn't like the kind of music that I like. Some of our older folks here, we used to have a lot of Bill Gaither quartet-type music. I'm not saying there's anything wrong with that. That's the preference. It's a generational preference for most people. Dan Powell and I, we come along and we like Petra. We're aging ourselves. We're 80s, okay? But you know what? A lot of the younger generation, they're listening to music. Sister Brittany sometimes listening to music. I don't even know who they're listening to. Is it bad? No, it's just different. So when we look at all of this, fishing for all these different types of fish requires patience. So that means if you're fishing and you've invested in a soul and you want to see that soul repent at an altar, you want to see that soul go down and baptism in the name of Jesus and come up out of that water speaking in a new heavenly language, you may have to invest in some different lures. You may have to invest in a better pair of waders. You might have to invest in a different type of a fishing pole. Because no fish is always caught with the same experience. We talked about this on Sunday, how that if you want to catch a muskie, which is one of the prized fish in the pike family, Brother Jim Rivas was telling me 10,000 casts average for one fish. I've never caught a large muskie. I caught a smaller one, about 30 inches. But muskie can get up 50 inches long. It's a big fish. It's a prized fish. But you see, you don't just go out, take any old lure and throw it out and expect to catch a muskie. You see, if you're going to catch a muskie, you got to have a muskie-sized lure. I've got some of those here. You see, this is a big lure. You think, what kind of fish is going to eat that? A big fish like a muskie. So see, you have to invest if you want to go muskie fishing. You're not going to catch a muskie on a little tiny pinky jig. The same thing requires, see, not every time as a Christian, not every time we throw our lure, our hook into the water, are we going to catch something. Sometimes we fish for a long time before we catch anything. Sometimes it can get frustrating. But I'm reminded of the parable that Jesus spoke of the sower and the seed. And I'm going to be wrapping this up here shortly. Talked about the seed falling on four different types of ground. Only one of those types of ground was suitable for seed. You know what that really tells me? That Jesus himself knew that you have about a 25% chance of success. Because he gave us a parable, 1 and 4. So you can't fish without fish, and you can't be fishers of men without people. And I want to close this out tonight. If Brother Derek can come back up here, I'm about to lose my waders. They do have shoulder straps, but they're somewhere behind me. I've read John chapter 21, verse 6, Brother Caskey, dozens and dozens and dozens of times. And I have to honestly say it wasn't until recently that this verse of Scripture has perplexed me at the simplicity of it, but yet the complexity of not being able to really figure it out. You may say, what's John chapter 21, 6? And he said unto them, cast the net on the right side of the ship, and ye shall find. They cast, therefore, and they were not able to draw it for the multitude of fishes. This to me just sounds so simple until I started a little bit of a study on fishing with nets. You see, I've always fished with a pole. The thing about a fishing pole is I can stand in the front of the boat. Brother Glenn has fished many times. Brother Seidel, Brother Jim Rivas, many of you fishermen in here. And in just a matter of a few minutes, you can throw and 360 degrees. You could throw that lure any different direction at any time. But you see, when you're fishing with nets, it doesn't work that same way. It's a whole different principle, Brother Jerry. And I started looking at videos and such, and how they fish with nets. How did they used to fish with nets, and how do they fish with nets now? And it's a total different kind of fishing than fishing with a pole. You see, with a net, you just can't easily draw it in and just toss it out at random. You can't toss a net out 360 degrees any way you want to. See, when you fish with the net, Brother Seidel, your boat is rigged for net fishing. So when I look at the disciples and I look at Jesus, and Jesus is telling Peter to take his nets and throw them out on the other side of the boat, it's not just that simple, Brother Simmons. Because you see, fishing boats in that era, in that time, they fished in tandems. And what they did a lot is they had riggers on the port or the various sides, right or left. The scriptures using right and left. So they had outriggers, rigging that went out, and they would throw the nets in and they would run through pulleys. And when it came time to draw these in, they would close the loop. They would have this big net, and you would have a... Come here, Brother Larry. Help me out here. Brother Larry's in one boat, and I'm in another boat, and we throw our nets out. One side of the net's attached to my boat, and the other side's attached to his, and we're dragging the nets behind us. We're going along a shelf, perhaps, where there's a lot of known fish to hang out, so we maneuver our boats. We're sailing. We're paddling. We're maneuvering. If we get too far apart and the distance gets too great, then the net gets narrower and tighter. We risk breaking the net, so we have to fish at the right distance. So that's why when they fished at night, they usually had torches so they could see one another. They have all this rigging all set up, and Jesus is telling Peter to simply just take your net and throw it out on the other side of the boat. And Peter's thinking to himself, that's not so easy, Lord. Because my boat is rigged for left-sided fishing. And you're wanting me to switch everything over to the right side. Begin to think about this. And this is I'm not preaching this as doctrine. It doesn't matter, doctrinally speaking. But the only way that Peter could have done this without totally re-rigging his boat, and whoever was fishing in the other boat that came to their assistance would have had to re-rig their boat, the only way they could have done it was by changing direction. And that hit me so hard. Because, church, we have been fishing for fish in one direction. And in one direction only. And I believe that we are entering into a season where Jesus is saying, put your nets on the other side of the boat. And we're going to argue with Jesus and say, but you don't understand, Jesus. And Jesus is going to say, put your nets on the other side of the boat. And I believe that by doing this, Peter and the other disciples, by putting their nets on the other side of the boat, they changed their direction in which they were traveling. And they caught so many fish that their nets were breaking and their boats were in danger of sinking because of the number of fish. And I believe, church, we talked about our connection groups. We talked about connecting with people.
And it's a change of direction. But I believe our change of direction is going to open up a whole new level of fish. You believe that tonight? How many of you want to go fishing? Brother Derek, already here, if you can stand to your feet tonight. I had a friend a number of years ago that loved to fish. His name was Tommy. Tommy was a little bit eccentric. If you went to his house, he had a small home. He had three bedrooms, and he stayed in one bedroom, and everything in his bedroom was so, nothing was out of order. Nothing. And he had a spare room, and in his spare room, he had shelving set up with supplies. See, Tommy had a, I'm not for sure the name of the syndrome, but he was always afraid he was going to be short of something. So when he went to buy toothpaste, he would have 25 tubes of toothpaste. And when he replaced one, he would replace it. So he always had his t-shirts, toilet paper, soups, groceries. You walked in that room and everything was so neatly organized. Then he had his third bedroom. And when he opened up the door to let me in to show me his third bedroom, his eyes got real bright. He says, "This is my favorite room." I walked into that bedroom, and Brother Seidel, I thought I was walking into an Ace Hardware fishing section. I mean, he had fishing poles of every size and shape. He had lures, tackle boxes. If he had one tackle box, he had 50. And every tackle box was immaculate. He had fly fishing. I've never seen a collection of fishing lures and poles as much as Tommy had. I began to talk with Tommy, and I asked him, "When's the last time he went fishing?" He said, "Well," he says, I don't go fishing. I said, "Really?" I said, "Why? Why do you not go fishing?" I said, "Do you not like fish?" "Oh no, I love fish." So what is it, Tommy, that you don't go fishing? Is it because you don't have a ride? You can't get there? No. Finally, he admitted that he was deathly afraid of water. Thus, he had all of this equipment. Thousands of dollars, I'm sure, for the cycle of equipment. And he had never, ever, ever used it one time. I thought of that as I was working on this message, and God just spoke to me so hard. Sometimes God can be just mean. Because I'm contemplating all of my fishing and all of the tackle and all the stuff I have, and God just, "When's the last time you went fishing, Roy?" "I don't know, Lord, 8 years ago." "Really? Are you ever going to use them again?" It brought to my mind Tommy. Sad thing about it is, church, sometimes we have churches full of Tommies and pastors full of Tommies. Have all of the equipment, yet we never go fishing. Jesus called us to be fishers of men. We have all of this equipment. We have everything we need. And and we never go fishing for men. We get together and we share fishing stories. We talk about how great it was. But we never go fishing anymore. Church, we got to go fishing. We got to go fishing. We got to get out there. We got to get our waders on. We got to get our kayaks, our canoes, our boats, whatever. We got to go fishing. So tonight, as Brother Derek begins to lead us in worship, I want to open up this altar. And the challenge for all of us tonight is when's the last time we went fishing? When's the last time that we had the thrill of catching one on our pole, fighting with it a little bit, but knowing we're going to get it in the boat? So as Brother Derek leads us in,
give myself away.
I want to open up this altar. If you don't feel comfortable coming to the altar,
give myself away.
You can pray where you are.
Can use me.
Say, Lord,
give myself away.
Help me find a good fishing hole.
Give myself away. So you
help me, Lord,
can
to be able to take
me. Give myself away.
Take all this stuff that I have and use it.
Give myself away
for your kingdom.
So you can you. Give myself away. I give myself away so you can use me. Here I am. Here I stand. Lord, my life is in your hands. Lord, myself away so you can use me. I give myself away. I give myself away so you can use me. Here I am. Here I stand. Lord, so you can use me. I give myself away. Oh, I give myself away. So you can use me. Take my heart. Take my life as a hands. myself away so you can use me. Give myself away. I give myself away so you can use me. My life is not my own. To you I belong. I give myself to you. My life is not my own. To you I belong. I give myself to you.
Remember this week to continue to pray for brother and sister, or I say brother and sister, brother Brandon and brother Chris, brother Ball, brother Jansen, as they minister in Ethiopia. God would use this opportunity to be doing some leadership training such there, so just pray for them. Also, Brother Simmons, he presented to us a few weeks ago and gave us that sheet of paper. How many of you still have your target, your oikos? Keep praying for those names. Keep praying for those people. But just understand one time, or at some point in time, that when the opportunity is presented for you to fish, after you've been praying, make sure you fish. All right? And don't be discouraged if you don't get them in the boat immediately. Just keep trying. Keep throwing it out there. Sometimes they won't hit on John 3:5, so you got to change your lure. Sometimes it won't hit on Acts 2:38. You got to change your lure. Sometimes it just takes something that you didn't think you'd ever catch anything on, and that's what you catch them on. That's how it works. That's why it's called fishing. Love you all. God bless you all. Thank you so very much, Brother Derek, Brother Dan. Great to see our bishop here tonight. To Brother and Sister Seidel, happy anniversary. Enjoy your mini vacation, Door County. God bless you all. Might be a little slick out there tonight. Just be careful as you leave the parking lot. God bless you.